Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Sports Fantasy Podcast. This is the post Thanksgiving week 12 edition. I'm Liz Lozon back and I'm joined by Matt Harmon and Scott Pianowski. Hello, gents. How was your turkey day? Wow, that great. Everybody.
I always want like Scott to say something first because I know I'm just going to blabber on about stupid stuff. So
Scott, I know that you are Italian. Did you have turkey and also the most coveted Thanksgiving dish on the planet, which I have not had, which is lasagna?
I know. It's always pasta for me.
Yes.
Big,
I love this about
ziti,
Scott.
Cheese.
Big ziti. Get there.
Yeah, it was delicious. I didn't have any turkey at all.
That's the way to go.
It was an Italian Thanksgiving for me. I celebrated by picking all three games wrong against the spread. But other than that, it didn't have any of the touchdowns. I couldn't find any of the right Saints free agents. I played all the Saints free agents I could and picked the wrong ones. But it was a good day. Today was better. I did better with my picks today. But you know how it is. You get some stuff wrong. You know, some of your guys get hurt. Some of your guys underperform. Some of your guys overperform. You're in so many leagues, you don't even know where you're doing well sometimes. But it was a good day. I can't complain. We work in the toy department.
I had a good Thanksgiving, although I will say I really appreciate.
Did you, Matt?
Yeah, no, I had a good Thanksgiving, but what I really enjoyed was doing Black Friday like a true American.
Did you get a tent and sit outside of Best Buy?
Oh, hell no. I sat on my couch and spent a lot of money sitting on my couch just buying stuff online.
Ditto. And I was really...
Pointer and clicker.
I was really disappointed by websites that didn't have Black Friday sales.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting till Monday. It's not going to happen. I got Fearless Forecasts on Monday.
With the money we pay you guys, you guys don't need coupon life. You guys can pay, you know, full price for everything.
Everybody needs a little coupon life. Let me tell you, Scott.
I didn't even have enough money to get myself some baked ziti on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. I was eating ham.
Yeah, because didn't you gain like a pound in New Orleans? I heard you're bloated.
I lost weight in New Orleans.
Yeah, you have basically become Betty Draper in season 4 of Mad Men.
Which is still a little
ridiculous. I love you. That was the best thing anyone's ever said to me.
A little ridiculous about this whole, like, you lost weight in New Orleans thing. Anyways.
It was great. New Orleans, I am still thankful for.
Yeah, we know.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Spicy. Let's talk about a player who did not have the best Thanksgiving weekend. Melvin Gordon entered this week with knee issues and then lobbied the coaching staff to play. And here's the best part. They listened to him because you can never aggravate an injury like a knee issue, right? Oh, that actually happened. It looks like now, per Eric Williams, he has an MCL sprain, is not expected to play in week 13 at Pittsburgh. In his stead, a couple of surprising things. Austin Eckler did see more work out in the passing game, but this character, Justin Jackson, I know Matt doesn't like when I call him a character.
It's just funny. I don't know. It's something different, you know?
Well, he's a 7th-round pick out of Northwestern. Smallish guy. That's the knock against him, is he's one of these diminutive pass-catching backs. But here's the other interesting part. Great burst, vision, weaves through traffic, carried the ball more times than Austin Eckler, not at all involved in the passing game. So I think, well, what's going on here? Scott, what's your first take on it?
First of all, it's just disappointing that I know you can't keep everybody in bubble wrap. You have to let them play football. But it's disappointing to see Melvin Gordon get hurt in a game where the Chargers were 14-point favorites and they were ahead 28-10 at halftime. You know, they spotted Arizona 10 points and then just boat raced them off the field. Phillip Rivers threw one incompletion the entire day. It just looked like the Chargers could do anything they wanted. And you just like to go back in time and say, you know what, maybe Melvin Gordon doesn't need to play the second half.
Yeah.
But, you know, an injury can happen on any play. I actually didn't see the injury. I was in the midst of getting something to eat. So I didn't see the injury. I don't know how it happened, but what's there to say? I mean, Gordon's not going to play against Pittsburgh. He's out indefinitely. And I think this is most of all, I mean, Eckler's a nice player, but he's at his size. You really can't. 15 touches today is about as much I think you ever want to give him. And Jackson is a guy who sounds like he's a little slight too. I think this turns into the Phillip Rivers show for the rest of the season.
Yeah, interesting enough, if it does turn into the Phillip Rivers show, that would look pretty nice against Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh.
Give me all those shares of Mike Williams, baby.
Yeah, right. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen had a touchdown today. He is definitely like yo-yoing right back into the touchdown progression part of the
situation.
Wouldn't
it be nice though if one of these guys, like Mike Williams has the two touchdowns, but why is it, there's always like some fringe player in the Chargers doing something on low targets, and I just wish we had a bankable target floor on some of these non Keenan Allen guys. I'm afraid that I could play Mike Williams and he might get two looks. Oh, he had four today and made good on him.
I mean, it should also be pointed out that Tyrell Williams was banged up. He did start, but that could have affected things. But I think when you have a matchup against a team like Pittsburgh at Heinz Field, there should be enough volume here to get your fringe players involved. And I just wanted to also give a shout out to at the FF Ghost. He does something called the Orange Report. So any of these it's one of my favorite. When any of these quote characters shows up, you can reference his Orange Report. He does a compendium of all of the rookies at various positions, and it's always been very, very helpful. So thank you, Ghost, for helping me further figure out Justin Jackson.
Let's also point out that if you need to go further than this week, not only are the Chargers at Pittsburgh this week, but then it's at home against Cincinnati, a team that looks like they're trying to lose every game. And then they play at the Chiefs, and you know the Chiefs are going to score their points. You'll probably be chasing the game against them. So a lot of scoring potential. You don't like the Baltimore matchup in week 16, but we'll worry about that. We're in the championship game. We'll figure it out. The next 3 weeks look like they're going to play three high-scoring games.
I like those points. You know, we forgot to mention, I got so excited about Italian food and Thanksgiving that I forgot to mention that we're talking about tomorrow's headlines today.
Funny! Sad.
You have one, Matt.
Yeah, I do have one, since I guess Melvin Gordon is really a headline of today that we're talking about today. I think tomorrow's headline, and it kind of bleeds into this point, is I think Josh Adams, Gus Edwards really showed the merits of cuffing season, what we talked about all those couple pods ago, Liz and Brett. You know, we talked about this is the times to go get these end of the roster guys, these depth running backs who a lot of people don't really know. And I think outside of the most hardcore sickos, you know, those of us who are reading Ghost's Orange Report, we might know who Josh Adams are. We might know who Gus Edwards is, but most people out there probably had no idea who these guys were until a couple of weeks ago. But here they are in week 12, and Adams is scoring touchdowns. Gus Edwards is going over 100 yards for the second game in a row. These are the type of guys that I think, you know, these nobodies, quote unquote, that make a difference in late in fantasy. And I have no idea how you think about, like, if someone's asked me right now, like, who's the next Gus Edwards, Josh Adams, maybe it's Jackson from LA. Maybe it's someone else we'll talk about in the pickup section. But getting these guys on your roster is more important than the, I don't know, Doug Martins or whatever, who's ever out there. Like, I could give a damn about adding somebody like Doug Martin right now at this point because, like,
you're going to spoiler care about it in our future segment.
Liz, no, I'm not, because I asked our dear podcast producer if I could hack his name off the pickup section because that's how much I don't give a damn.
Some of us were forced into talking about him earlier.
I'm never going to start a player like Doug Martin, so.
Since disagreement is open on this podcast, I'll throw out that this is going to sound incredibly pedantic, but I think there's two different things between an upside backup running back and an actual handcuff. To me, Spencer Ware is a handcuff, or Malcolm Brown is a handcuff, or maybe Jalen Samuels is a handcuff in Pittsburgh. Certainly D'Angelo Williams was when he was back with the Steelers, and they had that guy Le'Veon Bell. It's always wonderful all season. I want some lottery tickets in the backfields. I mean, it's not like Josh Adams was handcuffing. It's not like the Eagles had a starting back they felt good about. And if he got hurt, then Josh Adams could take over. Adams was always in play to maybe be their lead back. And Edwards, I mean, I don't know about you, Liz. I didn't even rank Edwards on my board last week. 60 running backs. And with bye weeks in play, 6 teams didn't play last week. I had to rank 60 running backs. I did not come up with Gus Edwards. I wish I did. I think this is a different conversation. I think now is handcuffing season. I think now is when you have to have Spencer Ware, because if Hunt goes down, you need to have, the 60 or 70% version of Hunt that Ware might be. But as far as upside running backs, those are guys I want all season, where I won't touch handcuffs in September and October, maybe late October, I'll think about them. Yes, this is handcuffing season. I'm not sure these running backs, and again, very pedantic here, I'm not sure the running backs qualify as handcuffs.
So you're saying, and I think I understand, and I think I agree, Josh Adams, Gus Edwards are not handcuffs. These are emergent RB1s that nobody saw coming.
Do you know anybody? I'm in many leagues. Do you know anybody who owned Edwards before last week, other than maybe a super deep, you know, dynasty league or something?
I mean, we're getting
I'm in a 14 team dynasty league and nobody had Gus Edwards.
We're getting chirped at in the Yahoo fantasy handle because we don't even have pictures for these guys on the game. People, some Eagles fan added the handle and was like, could you guys give Josh Adams a picture? Show a little respect for the guy. I'm like, I promise you. I don't know why there isn't a picture, but I promise you it's not a lack of respect. We're not a, or otherwise there's a lot of players I'm hacking.
We've been talking about Josh Adams since week 8.
For sure. Yep. So, but yes. I think
you could have gotten to Adams ahead of time. I just don't think you could have gotten to Edwards ahead of time.
No,
by the way, the people who were giving Brad Evans a bunch of crap today for Adams. I mean, Adams had a long touchdown run called back by penalty. Could have been easily a bigger day. The game script wasn't ideal for Adams either. I mean, the Giants had a big lead in this game. At least he stayed relevant in the game. The Eagles didn't just junk the running game. Adams is a good player. Every time I see him, I want to see more of him. I think if Philadelphia had controlled this game, like a lot of us thought they would, maybe it would have been a 20 touch game. It didn't get there, but he impresses me every time he plays.
Dude, that was amazing when like these clowns are chirping at Brad in the first half, like, oh yeah, great sleeper pick or whatever. This one goofball was literally going back and clicking on every single tweet that Brad had recommended Evans or Brad Adams. Evans had recommended Adams, and like with the laugh emojis and all that, guy comes out, you know, ends up with like 16 points. So like, shut up. Don't come in here with your little banter before the second half is started.
Part of fantasy too is recognizing as the trends are occurring. So we tabbed Josh Adams so that in advance of something like this, we could say, hey, at week 11, we're like, oh, look at this check notes, I believe is the tweet you sent out. Human being, this corporeal specter named Gus Edwards has 17 carries. He has leapfrogged Alex Collins. We don't always know the depths of the depth chart, but we can react accordingly. And when you look at not just Josh Adams' profile, but look at the needs that that backfield has, a backfield desperate for power, well, Josh Adams looks like he's going to be a fit.
For sure.
Who do you like more going forward? It has to be Edwards, I take it?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah, I think so. Just because I trust that offense to be a little bit more run heavy.
I like a running quarterback like Lamar Jackson opening up holes for Edwards. I think that's just a better
identity. Interesting. Ty Montgomery got involved in the game a little bit today. Not enough. It's the perfect fantasy disruptor where get in the way where you can't play them, but they get 50 yards off the table that you wanted for your guy. But, and by the way, the rule of trolling us, if you don't like our picks, tell us before the game or we'll talk after the game. Don't second quarter chirp. That's just pointless. And let's let the game settle. There's so many picks look good at 1:45 p.m. and they look like crap at 4:30. Yeah. Let's enjoy the game and let it breathe a little bit.
Yeah.
Scott, let's talk about your New England Patriots.
I coached them up all during the bye week. I like to take credit for this win.
Sure. They came off of a bye week. I don't know if they quite hammered the Jets as much as they could have, especially when coming off of a bye.
Yeah, it's taking care of business game. It was tied at halftime. But a lot of Patriots, this is a team, when I look in the AFC and I see the Steelers receivers and Ben Roethlisberger, I see all the toys in Kansas City. I see what Phillip Rivers is doing. And, you know, unfortunately, Gordon's hurt right now, but they have a lot of fun players. I looked at the New England depth chart and I'm thinking, where are the playmakers? Rob Gronkowski hadn't scored a touchdown since week one. Well, he had a real beastly 34-yard touchdown today. Sony Michel's been in and out of the lineup with injuries. He had a fumble at an inopportune time earlier in the year. Today, he looked like the first round back he was paid to be, 21 for 133 and a touchdown, making James White. I love James White, but he really should be a complimentary player. He only had the 10 touches today. The bottom line is this. If you own Patriots guys, you kind of needed that circle of trust week from Gronkowski. You needed it from Brady. You maybe even wanted it from Edelman and Gordon. Gordon's kind of settling into the same week. He has like 60 to 90 yards every week. Sometimes he scores. He's been okay, not great. Edelman had a nice game today, a touchdown and a long reception, 84 yards. Brady, a very crisp 115 rating. 283 and 2 isn't the hugest game in fantasy in 2018, especially when Brady is never going to run the ball. He occasionally sneaks one in, but and a 27-13 win over the Jets is not worthy of a parade. But we know the schedule's favorable. A lot of AFC matchups coming. I needed a show me game from a lot of these guys. I needed the Patriots to show me that I could trust them in the most important part of my fantasy season. And while they didn't blow it out of the water today, I feel a lot better about this entire offense.
Yeah, I got to give you credit, Liz. You were definitely you were telling me when I think when we were in New Orleans, I don't know, it's hard to parse anything together, that James White was destined to have a slow second half or, you know, last quarter of the season here because all these guys were coming back. I didn't really buy into it, but that is kind of, as Scott mentioned, that's really what played out today.
Well, thank you, Matt. You make good picks too.
Not really, but I appreciate you. I appreciate you throwing me the pity bone.
I actually, as I was mentioning James White on FFL in our bust segment, I thought about you, Scott, because I was like, a couple of weeks ago, Scott went on this rant about, you're just going to start James White. No more James White questions. If this doesn't work for me, I'm going to get an earful on the pod. So, you know, Zay Jones did nothing. I'll eat it on that one. Neither did Kendrick Bourne, but at least I got James White sort of right. But I thought about you, Scott, because you definitely have your finger on the pulse of this offense in a unique way.
I still think he's playable because they like him, and there's going to be games where his skill set comes into play more than it did today. But the point is they view Michelle as somebody who could be a 20-plus touchback, and they never thought James White was that guy.
Yeah, and I also have this pet theory that they know how bad Sony Michel's knee is, and I feel like they're just going to run him into the ground because they're going to get their money's worth.
They're going to Melvin Gordon him? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if he'll last as long as Melvin Gordon.
I have a lot of Melvin Gordon, by the way. It's really painful. And I don't know. We're all human
Scott
beings.
Is feeling
we don't
the
want
pain.
Anybody get hurt. I mean, that's – I shouldn't even have to say that, but that's going to be painful when I look at, oh, this team's in good shape. Oh, we don't have Gordon. This team's in good shape. I don't have Gordon. And I have no Eckler anywhere. I don't know if you guys are sitting on Eckler shares. But no, for me,
I do in Dynasty.
He's a guy who like ended up getting dropped a lot. Austin Eckler.
You are a Dynasty. Are you winning your Dynasty leagues?
Am I winning in my Dynasty leagues?
My Dynasty.
Are you the Ming
suck.
Dynasty? What Dynasty are you, the John Forsythe Dynasty? What Dynasty do you comp to the most?
Probably the one out of Dallas.
Okay.
Linda Evans.
Okay. I like that.
Blue eyeshadow. Let's talk about Russell Wilson, though. Forget Dallas. That offense is getting left behind. Let's talk about Russell Wilson, who predictably is surging at this point in the season. He's managed 31 pass attempts in back-to-back weeks despite this run-heavy approach. He's got the 49ers in week 13, and their defense is allowing an average of 35 passing attempts per game. This week, Jameis Winston rushed for 24 yards against them. So I feel like Russell Wilson, he's got San Francisco next week, then Minnesota, then it's back to San Francisco. Finishes in week 16 versus Kansas City. This is looking pretty good. A lot of people were, you know, it's interesting because I remember getting, who should I keep, Russell Wilson or Cam Newton? Cam Newton's schedule a couple of weeks ago looked like complete cake, but the Panthers are really struggling. And I just felt like maybe Russell Wilson was going to give you consistent QB10 numbers, and the ups and downs of Cam Newton may not have been worth it.
I love how you referred to Jameis Winston. It just made me want to start drinking. It must be the New Orleans hangover effect. Answer me this. I've never had a good answer to this. Russell Wilson does better in the second half, and specifically the final third of seasons. It's been the story of his entire career. Right. I get it, his rookie year, because, you know, you learn more, you become more experienced. They put more on his plate. But he's, what is his seventh, eighth year in the league? I mean, why does this keep on happening? Why does Russell Wilson – he just the guy who does the term paper the last night before it's due or the morning before it's due. I mean, what is it with Russell Wilson and late season surges? But it looks like we're going to get it today. One thing I have liked, we didn't see it today with only 4 rushing yards, but he's been more proactive with the scrambling. Mm-hmm. And I think he's really smart about how to get out of bounds or slide. He very seldom takes the kill shot, which, of course, with his, you know, what is he, 5'10 and a half, 5'11? I mean, you don't want him getting hit a lot, but I believe the narrative you sold. I don't know why it keeps happening, but some things I don't think you need an explanation or a rationalization. You just have to say this has happened enough that I believe in it. I believe Russell Wilson's going to be a difference maker the rest of the way. And I'll throw it to Matt, who, you know, I know you live and die with the Panthers. It's been a tough game
just
for you to
die. Lately, it's just a lot of death. Right as I start to believe in him, man, that's when they go and drop 3 straight games. The 2 road games I could understand. Like, I get it. I know they have struggles on the road. They always have.
Nobody should lose to Detroit. Come on.
No. I know. You're right. You're right. There's no excusing that game. And the way they lost to Pittsburgh, I mean, I think it was a little easy to shrug off the Pittsburgh game.
Sure.
And then the Detroit loss, it was like, God, well, if they just made a couple different, you know, they should have won, but whatever. But then this game, it was just more the same old stuff. Like, I don't know what to say at this point. They're probably on the fringes of the playoff picture now, whereas like I was penciling them into the five seed a couple of, you know, 3 weeks ago or whatever. This week they just got straight up outdueled. I mean, and look, if it's still tough too, because if you look on the offensive side of the ball, like they have been investing a lot of resources there and it's hit. You know, Chris McCaffrey's a hit. DJ Moore's a hit. Curtis Samuel's a hit.
200 yards and two touchdowns.
I know. He's a total stud.
Over a buck on both receiving and like, rushing yards, which has happened like 40 times. He could. I think he might be the Todd Gurley of the season. I think he might be the biggest difference maker the rest of the
way. So yes. What are you doing with Christian McCaffrey next year?
I mean, you're drafting him as one of the first five picks. You're drafting him at peak value
again, assuming that he can handle that workload again? I mean,
you're drafting him where you thought we were going to draft Le'Veon Bell this year. That's where you're drafting Christian McCaffrey, second, third, fourth pick.
He plays on like 97% of their snaps. Like, that's unheard of other than like Le'Veon Bell in recent years from running backs. And like, I know he's small, but he's held up to a big workload all throughout his college career so far in the NFL. I think like if he gets hurt, people will definitely come out and, you know, do a little like outcome bias there and be like, oh yeah, you know, confirmation bias. Like I told you this is going to happen or whatever. But I mean, at this point he's proven that he can hold up to a big workload. I think he's a top five pick next year. And just the problem in Carolina, and Liz, you and I were talking about this earlier, like they have put all these resources into the offensive side of the football, which is great. Like I said, all these guys are hits, but their defense sucks now. It's not a good defense. It's a unit that you want to attack going forward in fantasy. And like until they
well, that helps the offense to a certain degree.
It definitely helps the offense. And just overall, like these games are going to, they're going to be in a lot more shootouts. And the problem with Carolina is they still do play very slow. They're not a fast paced team. They're going to lose some of these shootouts. And Russell Wilson outdoed them today.
Is Ron Rivera there next year?
I hope not. I'm kind of my wit's end with the Rivera era. I mean, the guy freaking said that like he loves old fashioned 7-6 games last week when he was asked for his reaction to the Monday Night Football game. He said, I'm not really a fan of that kind of football. Like I prefer.
I'm not really a fan of working.
Well, he was a defensive player.
Yeah,
so that the kind
he's
of
a conservative
a defensive coordinator. So sometimes that sticks with them. But look, the schedule just has shootout written all over it at Buccaneers, at Browns, Saints, Falcons, Saints. Now, in all the NFC South games, it's pinball. It's first team to 40. So we're going to see that. And the Browns, we've seen a team that can score and a team that will allow points. So I would think every Carolina game is going to be a fantasy bonanza. You may not get the wins that Matt Harmon wants, but you're going to get the fantasy points that all of us want.
I'm sad, man. I was really ready to buy in on 2018 Carolina. I was willing to put my heart out there. And once again, when you put your heart out there and you try to believe in something, you believe in love again, you just end up getting hurt. But look, if there was anybody who was going to drive the knife into the heart of the Carolina Panthers, I'm glad it was Tyler Lockett.
That's what I was going to say. With that 43-yard catch. Tyler Lockett has scored 8 times out of, 11 games at this point? Yeah. Eight touchdowns over 11 games. You'll take that. David Moore involved. I want to ask you, what are we doing with Doug Baldwin, right? He hasn't been 100% all season. The groin issue coming into this week. Groin issues are ones that I'm super concerned. Whenever someone says groin issue, I'm like, nah, no thanks. Maybe I'm being hyper-reactive, but that's one that I feel like can just be re-aggravated so easily. He didn't look hobbled in this game in particular, and he did lead the receiving core with targets, but David Moore and Lockett both cleared 100 yards. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I don't want to deal with this Baldwin.
I hate it. I hate saying it. He's my favorite player, but you can't. When he tells you he's hurt before the season, you have to back away.
Leave him.
And then when he's a game day decision with injuries that he's battled the whole season, knee, groin. You know, you're right about the groin injury too. I mean, avoid it on your dating app. Ugh. Just you hear the groin, you step the other way. But you know, at least Lockett has stepped up. At least David Moore has started to get enough predictability in his game that you could have gotten to him today. And he's not even the best Moore on the field because I think, man, Matt, I don't know if your season's going to be where you want it to be, but DJ
Moore
is good
player. Yeah,
I love
him
this
and
guy.
Samuel. Him and Samuel are both.
Yeah,
like I said,
I love
hits,
Samuel of Ohio State. Talk about breaking my heart, beating Michigan again. Michigan favored, supposed to win. Now they got. I think Ohio State scored 14 points since we started this podcast. Best defense in the country. They allow 62, and that's with Ohio State sitting on the ball at the goal line at the end of the game. Because they could have scored 69 or 70 or maybe even 71 if Woody Hayes let them go for three like he wanted to. I'm excited to have DJ Moore. This is a guy I wish I had. I think he's startable now.
Yep.
I think he's a great keeper league pick. I think he's a great dynasty pick. Rookie receivers, we're just looking for these guys to swim, to not drown. And DJ Moore is doing laps right now.
Let me tell you, Scott, like this is a guy that's not even at this point like – I'd say he's polished, like a, yeah. to be kind, he's like a C plus route runner right now.
He's athleting people right now, right?
Yeah, he's Percy Harvin. Physically. He's like Percy Harvin right now. And you remember what happened when like Percy Harvin learned to become more of a complete receiver.
That guy was such a headache.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pain in the ass. He had but like at the same slaves. Time,
he wanted to share the headaches with all of us.
He was an incredible player. And just on your point to Doug Baldwin before we can finally move on this point, but like, think about why Doug Baldwin got boosted up draft boards. And I think correctly before the injury, like this process might have worked out. People boosted him up, myself included, because A, we all thought the Seahawks were going to be behind. They were going to be trailing in a lot of games. They were not going to be able to run the ball. Be damned with that.
Yeah.
They didn't care what the script was like. They were going to run the damn ball, and they have. And also we thought, well, who else is going to catch
target
passes?
Volume.
Who else is going to catch passes? Lockett has emerged. David Moore has emerged. Even Nick Vinette's kind of out there doing some things every now and again. So both those points are pretty much moot. And that's,
plus, they targeted 10 guys today, so it's a more narrow tree. You'll get the Carolina tree, six guys. Seattle threw the ball to 10 guys on just 31 pass attempts. So it's not like they're forcing Baldwin or anybody for that, even Lockett. They're not forcing anybody 8 to 12 targets a week.
So we asked our followers, with Mahomes, Goff, and Breeze enjoying the long weekend, which quarterback had the most surprising performance today? Go ahead and...
Don't at me, bro!
The responses were, James Hines said, not surprising, but Philip Rivers has been excellent this season and was again today. Matt, you and I discussed on hashtag halftime with Harmon.
You can get her on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter.
How perfect Philip Rivers was.
Yeah, Anthony Lynn finally, Philip Rivers threw his first incompletion, that's when he pulled him. You know, you got to demand excellence from your players. So I think Rivers was great today. Rivers has been kind of a borderline quarterback one. He's never been a guy that's going to have that top five type ceiling because the Chargers are super high in rush play percentage. They're also super low in pace of play. So now we might see that be different. With Melvin Gordon out, that is spinning it forward. That's the interesting part, which I think we already talked about pretty much, is that maybe Rivers now has access to a higher ceiling with Melvin Gordon out of the picture. Do they become more of a pass first team? I don't know if I totally buy into that, but I think at least he's going to be a guy that you're probably starting.
It's not going to hurt you.
Yeah, good point. That's a good way to say it.
He won't hurt you. At Sweet Baby Nico wants us to put some respect on the 26 point king, Baker Mayfield. Fair point. First road win in, I believe, 25 games.
Stuck it to Hugh Jackson.
13 touchdowns in his last five games, 4 today. And then he throws the Heisman to Hugh Jackson, which is awesome. I love Baker Mayfield. Plays with a chip on his shoulder, but it's an intelligent chip. He works his ass off. He's smart. And he was throwing touchdowns to different guys today. I mean, maybe it wasn't the most fantasy-friendly thing. We've talked in the recent past about Jarvis Landry being difficult to own and maybe even cuttable in some formats, but and Joku with a man's touchdown. He basically crowd surfed in the end zone from the 4-yard line, and another huge Nick Chubb game. Baker Mayfield, again, rookie quarterbacks, right? We're just happy if they don't get their confidence kicked out of them. But Baker Mayfield is the other way around. He's actually a difference maker. 2 wins in a row for the Browns, and they look like a fun team. Defense is okay, but it's not great. The offense has difference makers at running back. It has a difference maker at quarterback. I still think Njoku has a chance to be a really good player. And Mayfield, who I think if you redrafted everybody, he'd go first again. He was the right pick. So getting Hugh Jackson out was the right thing to do, obviously.
I want to ask this question because I saw this pop up on my timeline. If you guys had to vote right now, who would be the offensive rookie of the year, Baker Mayfield or Saquon Barkley?
I still lean Barkley.
I think I'd lean Barkley.
I lean Baker because he matters.
I give Mayfield a chance to win it, though. It's in play.
That's true. Like, I think this conversation would have been ridiculous 2 weeks ago. Like, I think you both would have laughed me off the podcast. Brett would have taken my mic and I would have, you know, been sent packing back to, I don't know, you know, whatever
Asheville,
else.
North Carolina.
Back to Asheville. Oh, man. Actually, that doesn't sound so bad. But anyways, I think now, though, Baker's showing the difference that he makes as the franchise quarterback.
If he can do this at Houston next week with Clowney potentially doing things, like if he isn't flustered and truly as confident as we are expecting him to be, like, let's not forget these 4 touchdowns came against the Bengals
and they suck. Right. Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Who they've given up. I don't even think they're thinking about golf.
By the way, he gets his Bengals team tennis. Again in week 16. So,
oh man,
if the weather holds up in Cleveland, he could be a different. He could be a championship winner, maybe.
Yeah. So if the Browns finish strong, you know, they win, I don't know, three more games.
If he manages more than two passing touchdowns against the Texans, I will crown him.
All right. Well,
Who are the Texans? What is the Texans defense has a bunch of big names.
We'll find out on Monday night.
I think that front. Yeah, I want to see what happens. I mean, but this is not a fair matchup either. Like, hey, the Mariota isn't 100%.
Once again, injured Mariota. It should be a real test.
So maybe then they won't be particularly gassed. So they'll save it all. Yeah,
haven't we said all season, or maybe everybody doesn't agree on this, and I don't know if we've talked about this on this pod that much, but if defense doesn't matter or only the elite defenses matter, to me, Houston is not a, I'm changing my opinion on a player. I'm not starting him. If you wanted to play Mayfield next week and you see Houston, that is not a needle mover.
No, I'm not saying I'm not starting him. I'm just saying that is a tougher test than the Cincinnati Bengals. And so if we're talking about who we're crowning, Barkley or Mayfield, if Mayfield gets one sack next week, fine. You got it. But, rank him then? Where would you rank him, Scott, for next week? If Houston doesn't matter and coming off of this epic performance and also having scored, my goodness, how many touchdowns over the past few weeks in addition to this? I think three last week as well.
He'd be in the 13 to 15 range. And that may sound low to some people, but it just speaks to the depth of the position.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd have
everybody
him about
in
there
play.
Just
the
outside
over,
the
everybody
bubble.
In play. So you could play him if you didn't like, if you had a reason to not trust your quarterback, if he was in a bad draw. Or there's some injury news. There's been actually a lot of injured quarterbacks in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, remember Trubisky didn't play last week. So maybe you can play him that way. And of course, there's a lot of formats that are hybrids with two quarterback and super flex. So those rankings matter. It used to just be if you weren't in the top 10, who cares? Now it's like if you're in the top 17, 18, 20, we'll find a use for you. We'll DFS you. We'll super flex you, that type of thing.
Jermaine Hall wants us to mention Jameis Winston.
There, we mentioned him. Move on. I'm sick of talking
fair.
About
the guy played well today.
Yeah. I'm sick of talking about these Bucs quarterbacks. Is that wrong of me?
Well, I think the surprising thing is no interceptions when that has been what's gotten him benched so much. But again, doing this against a Reuben Foster-less San Francisco 49ers defense, Todd Monken, all of these offensive weapons, like this is kind of how he should be playing.
Yeah, he was the chalk and the chalk hit.
There you go. Also, 312 yards. Sub Chicago, 312 area.
Let's remember, going to today, if you had Tampa Bay quarterback, you would have the number two quarterback. And some people in stats accrued. And people might say, well, that's not fair. They've benched their quarterback three times. Okay, if you just played the Tampa Bay starter every week into this week, I think Mike Clay had the stat, you would have had the quarterback 10. And that would have been despite absorbing three benchings, which is just absurd. So if Winston can provide any bit of stability, we like the pieces in this offense. I know San Francisco didn't take advantage of it, but we know Tampa Bay's defense stinks. There's a Panthers game coming. There's a Saints game coming. If you play week 17, there's a Falcons game coming. You're on your own at Baltimore and at Dallas, but there's going to be more pinball with this team. And I can't guarantee Winston won't play like crap next week and get benched. But if he's going to play like this, I played him in DFS. It's the perfect place to play him. A couple of it's kind of a semi-tournament. 12, 15, 18, 20 people where I'm trying to get a high score. And if he craps out, he craps out. I think it's a perfect place to play him. I feel like in our seasonal leagues, the quarterback position might be more like a cash game where you really need some floor. To me, Winston is a great DFS play when you're looking for some upside because he certainly offers that.
And he's often bargain priced. But let's talk more. Forget Winston then. All right. Forget
Jameson.
Winston.
We're going to. Jameson Winston. I changed his name to Jameson.
Jameson Winston. We are forgetting him for a moment, forgetting the segment for a moment. And let's talk about, Scott, you like to talk about passing volume and target trees, etc. This is obviously an offense that spreads the ball around a lot. Can we stop trying to make DeSean Jackson and Jameson Winston a thing? They do not get along. 8 targets again for Jackson, only 3 catches. The chemistry just isn't there. This is like when you go on a date with a guy 6 times because you know your mom is going to love him, but you just do not want to kiss him at the end of the night.
You never went out with anybody 6 times you didn't like. I don't believe that for a second. But yeah, Jameson, I really love the way that sounds. Jameson has his favorites. I'm going to talk about one of them in the pickup segment. Yeah. We saw him get the touchdown with Brait today. Brait didn't have a huge game, although he did have another red zone look later in the game. Evans hasn't been a problem. Some guys just seem to connect. And Jackson, you know, I know he's out, he's on the field just to stretch it and to make them respect the deep threat and all that, but he is in his 30s now. It's a type of receiver a lot of times doesn't age that well. Yeah, I think there are certain players I'm fine to drop even if you don't have an ad. Like I was telling people, you can drop Demaryius Thomas. You don't have an ad, I don't care. Just have the empty
figure
spot.
It out.
Right.
You know, it's just a therapeutic drop. I think DeSean Jackson is a therapeutic drop. He's on that therapeutic. You know, there's a list of those players. To me, Thomas was on that list. I would put Jackson on that list as well.
Fair enough. At Leonardo Krog believes that Lamar Jackson was better than anticipated. I think we anticipated he'd be quite good, frankly, in this matchup.
Yo, there were some early game chirpers, though, about this one.
Oh, when four quarters, baby.
Yeah. And like someone's like, oh, big deal. He has 16 points. It's like, yeah, but he finished with 22. You know, like people were definitely, for whatever, I don't know what they were expecting. Like he was going to go out and, you know, I knew he wasn't going to rush for 100 yards again. I mean, that was pretty easy to see.
Well, 71 is still 71
is a lot, but that's what I'm saying. Like 71 is a lot. I don't know why we were expecting 100 again. Right. That's a little,
or more than 15 rushing attempts
for sure. So yeah, well, I think that was fair enough. But like again, this is a guy that I know. Where do you guys see him the rest of the year? Because I want to. I know it's. I'm trying to pull up right now as I filibuster a little bit, like the quarterback rankings for the entire season. But to me, like. I think that Lamar Jackson's a guy that I'm going to want to get into my lineup. Now, I don't know who I'm going to some of the guys in there that I'm going to bench him for, because quarterback is just so deep.
The schedule at Atlanta next week, at Kansas City versus Tampa Bay in week 15, week 16 at the Chargers. It's I think the toughest of the matchups for him.
There's a lot
of
bingo there.
Yeah.
Schedule rocks.
Here's the thing. Today, what he did today is something that could be repeatable. 27 carries in his first game wasn't.
Not,
but 178 passing, 11 for 71 rushing, a rushing touchdown, a rushing throw, quarterback 8. That's something that he could reason. That's a target he could reasonably hit.
Against Atlanta?
Say to themselves,
come on, absolutely on the ground.
Yeah. The point is that you couldn't say what he did last week when he was, what, quarterback 15, quarterback 16. You couldn't say, well, he's going to get 27 carries a week. No, nobody wants to play football like that. The Ravens know it too. But what Jackson did today, and by the way, he's only a 54.4 rating. He had a couple of interceptions.
Yeah.
But today is a very hittable target for him week in, week out. And that's going to make him in the top 10 quarterback conversation. You could say to yourself, if you've not hit on quarterbacks, say Matthew Stafford's got you down.
Oh, yeah.
You on Andy Dalton and, you know, AJ I'm Green's hurt, boat. And that team is a your dead men walking team. You could be riding with Lamar Jackson the rest of the season.
And available in 58% of Yahoo leagues currently.
Definitely still somebody to pick up. Yeah, like
time
you guys,
get
like
in.
Mahomes, Breeze, even Cam Newton, you know, I'm playing those guys over Lamar Jackson. But, you know, when you start to get to like the Matt Ryan, Ben Roth, Luck, I think as a guy I'm playing over him too. But, you know, Trubisky's QB9 this year. Aaron Rodgers is QB11. You know, he hasn't been up to that. Like Tom Brady has been is QB12. Like there's all these guys.
How appropriate.
Oh, yeah. Right. No,
I mean, the rest of the season, Kirk Cousins versus Jackson could be a question.
I think it's an easy answer too. I think it's
It's real hard for me to sit Kirk Cousins.
I mean, he's only
Stephon Diggs is so good after the kills.
Real
hard.
He's got a great touchdown in this game too. That is on right now. Yeah. So I don't know. Jackson's just a guy that I think spinning forward, you're probably going to end up siding and getting him into your lineup.
And you're going to have to make these decisions because there are no more buys. Yay! So the buys will not make the decision for you. That means pickups are quite interesting. We're going to do a lightning round of pickups. I'm going to start with Quint.
That was lightning.
Oh, I thought that was a new producer, Brett, sound drop. And
no,
I was
that's
like, that's
Pianowski
some budget.
Special.
That's what you did? You
that's my Sesame time. Street. That's my Sesame Street lightning. Now I'll morph into the count.
Okay. Great. All right. So I want to talk about Quincy Enunwa. He was rostered in a lot of leagues early in the season, but then I think through injuries and the Jets just not looking particularly good and Sam Darnold starting to struggle, he fell by the wayside. Now he's available in over 90% of leagues. Josh McCown was the starter in week 10 and week 12. Week 11, they were on bye. In week 10 with McCown under center, Quincy Enunwa drew 8 targets, only 4 targets this week, but he led the Jets receiving corps with 73 yards. Darnold is not expected back until week 14, which means week 13 could be another good week for Enunwa because he's at Tennessee and the Titans are allowing the 4th most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah, I like that call. I just wish there'd be more touchdown upside with the noon well. Sure. But you know, at 9%, what can you expect? He's a good player when he's on the field. We talked earlier about Jameis Winston, and we're changing his name to Jameson. Drink, please. He's got his guys. He likes Cameron Braid. He likes Mike Evans. Of course, everybody does. And he likes Adam Humphries. You know, Humphries in his last seven games has four touchdowns. He has an 82, a 76, and an 82-yard game. And it seemed like the valleys of Humphries would come with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And the better games, the booms, would come with Jameis Winston. So we like that schedule. We like that division. Tampa Bay's defense, you know, played well today. A lot of that was the Niners kind of spitting all over themselves. But there's going to be points. There's going to be pinball. And Adam Humphries has a role in this offense for what it is. You know, he's a DFS play, a wide receiver three. If you lost a guy you like, he's not going to be somebody you play proactively, but a good depth player who I think can get inside the wide receiver 30 conversation the rest of the way.
I also just have to give it up for Adam Humphries' efficiency. The hands that he has been pulling balls in with are extra sticky. He's converted 19 of 22 looks over his last four games, converted 6 of 6 today. I like a player with a quarterback as inaccurate as Jameis Winston that can haul in that high percentage of a catch rate is someone that I'm absolutely keeping an eye on. So
plus life is easier in the slot, right? The throws are more defined. You get the lesser coverage. So a lot of times that mitigates some of the quarterback problems because of what the position asks you to do.
Amen. Mr. Harmon, you would like to talk about a Wildcat?
Let's talk, you know, some of these
this
backup
character.
Running. Yeah, a character named Justin Jackson. Literally 0% owned in Yahoo Fantasy per the numbers that we've looked at. And I think that the sad part about Austin Eckler is that I think he's a real good player. But I don't, like we mentioned earlier, I don't think he's going to get, you know, the feature back duties or anything. And if something happens to Austin Eckler, you could get a start out of Justin Jackson at some point. And, you know, maybe they just end up liking him better as the early down option.
Seems that way.
It sure seems that way. And it just is one of these players that you want to add and see what happens, you know, again, in case more chaos hits. He's the potentially the next Gus Edwards. You never know. Could easily be that way. Another player that could be that is a 4% owned guy in Jordan Wilkins.
Yeah, talk to me about this.
Yeah, so Marlon Mack goes out with a concussion today. He's getting evaluated. Wilkins didn't get any carries today, but he did get 3 catches for 32 yards, caught all 3 of his targets. And he also ran in a touchdown a couple of weeks ago. He's just been getting a little bit more involved after kind of falling out of favor for Marlon Mack. So, and Mack is a guy that not only is he dinged up right now with the concussion, he's had other injuries in the past. He's another player that you might just want to stash, keep on your bench, and you might get a start out of him in one of these high-powered offenses here to end the year.
We're tying these running backs to good offenses, which is always a good reason to invest in somebody. Wrap this up with Dante Pettis, wide receiver for San Francisco, more of a deeper league play, available in 99% of Yahoo League, 77 in a touchdown in that ugly loss at Tampa Bay. We don't know what the status of the quarterback. Mullins didn't play well, but it's still a Kyle Shanahan offense. Pettis was a second-round pick. We'll see what happens to Goodwin to play today. Pierre Garçon is hurt, so there may be some opportunity here. I think Pettis has a good chance to be this team's receiver the rest of the season.
And I think we have a good chance of returning next Sunday. Before that, though, I'll be back with Dalton Del Don on Thursday. Be sure
to spread.
Not 100%, just so you know, Brett.
Oh, Dalton doesn't look 100% either. He's been questionable all year.
Oof.
Oh, man. So Dalton.
looking not so great lately.
Nobody tagged Dalton. All right. But do follow us on social at Yahoo Fantasy.
At me, bro.
Don't at me, bro.
Be sure to submit your questions. I'm at @LizLoza_FF. That's at @MattHarmon_BYB. You can see me pointing to him. No, you can't. And that is @Scott_Pianowski. Win big. We out.